Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In this episode, I really want to do a deep dive into the core of consciousness. I'm moved to the depths of my being when I tap into the profound levels of pain, of unnecessary suffering that so many of you men around the planet are experiencing. Not all, you know, to be honest, like there's some levels where guys, when I connect with, they're not aware of the suffering actually. And hey, that's cool. There's protective pathways and we can keep ourselves from feeling the depths of grief and the depths of suffering and pain of disconnection, etc., etc. We can cast a spell of, you know, sprinkle a little bit of blame, a little bit of avoidance, etc., etc. And we don't feel the full depths of suffering that lies at the pit of our soul in living this human life. And others are acutely aware of, you know, the hellish inner world realms of deep anxiety, of pain, of suffering, of jealousy, of, you know, depth of frustration and rejection and hurt and the felt pain of disconnection, etc., etc. I would say it's the human experience is suffering, and the spiritual path is finding a way to go from suffering into being able to sit with pain but have no suffering. It's, you know, suffering, there's this simple equation which is suffering equals pain times inner resistance. Now, as with any equation, if you multiply like pain multiplied by resistance, if you put the resistance as zero, there's no suffering. So you can have pain, suffering one side, you know, pain multiplied by zero resistance, it's just pain, but it means there's no suffering. Now this is one of these conceptual beautiful things that we can hear, we can read, and we're like, oh, I might even get that intellectually, but that isn't worth a fucking shit in the octagon of marriage when, you know, you're incredibly unapologetic, boisterous, in your face feminine goddess is, you know, projecting seven shades or 50 shades of shit your direction, calling you to a greater level of consciousness as a man. But in that moment, you don't get that that's the game. So there's this immense resistance of, you know, that inner boy energy of, I don't fucking deserve this. I'm entitled to better. It's like, I should be just getting the good shit. Why doesn't she just love me? Why is she rejecting me? And we amp up all this massive existential resistance inside of us to surrender into playing the game. And it makes sense. This was happening me for years. In entering into this conversation, it's, you know, I speak more often in this podcast about, you know, the 3.5-4 years ago, my marriage breakdown, breakthrough. Like a lot of you guys are diligently listening in, and by the way, I really appreciate, you know, guys reaching out and telling me how deeply meaningful this podcast is being. I had one message come in this morning, and it was like a list of guys. He was saying, it's like, oh, I've been following these guys, and it was a list that for me was showing up as like, man, they're world-class teachers in relationship, in men's work, like fucking, like these are the King Kongs of deep intimate work and masculine feminine practice, etc., etc. And he's like, yeah, I've been following them, but your podcast, Mark, is like, it's a level apart. And I take that's on a personal level deeply meaningful. One of the reasons why so many of you guys are tapping into this level is, I want to like take you into the backstory of, you know, where I really came from in marriage. You know, I've been through this with my queen. We have like regularly on a daily basis, like it's commonplace now is our practice to be deeply intimate with each other, into me you see. And in the beginning, man, there was always love. There was a deep love there, and like, love is this funny as fuck thing that, to be honest, I'm listening into so many of the songs that my daughters are listening to, and some are badasses, like conscious femininity, and it's like, but there's a lot of pop songs, and man, the tunes when we're out mucking at the stables, like the tunes, the beat, the music, I actually love having the songs on. They put on the playlist that they like, that helps them, muck out the stables, help out in the yard, and to get to enjoy a bit of entertainment as well. And it's like, it's cool music. It's like, it's literally pop music. It's popular music. There's like a, there's a code to it. If you just stick with the code, with the beat, with a certain thing, it's like, hey, it's, you're going to be on the charts. But listening to the words of the vast majority of it, it's like, it's a river of fucking shit, to be honest. It's a river of conditioned shit. And if you were to, I've had conscious conversations with our eldest, sort of saying, it's like, hey, it's cool. Like, those songs are cool. The music's cool. Like, it's all beautiful and that. But, like, certain amount, like, don't get sucked into that being a reality. It's like, that's a. It's a cesspit of drama is what they're actually indoctrinating. And you can, we do it in a playful way and in a sincere way. It's like trying to get that middle ground, but you can imagine what it's like growing up with me as a parent. I have to really try and, with my queen's feedback, just keep it light and fluffy as well. But we've had so much conditioning in total fucking bullshit of what will never work in deep, intimate, long-term relationships. It's this entitled, needy, like, unstructured yearning for the one, and I'll do anything for you, blah blah blah. And it's like, okay, cool, like romantic love on the dating scene, like, I can get, like, if you're going to the date, if you're going on a date, play that shit, cool. It fucking get you into romantic mode and undying love, and it'll fucking, like, G you up. It's like modern music like that. It's sort of like a motivational track going to the gym. It's like, it's cool. It gets you in the zone temporarily, but you gotta go infinitely deeper than just relying upon motivational tunes going to the gym if you're gonna go to the Olympics, if you're gonna become a UFC star. It's like, it's just not deep enough. It can get you into a temporary state. The deeper state that I'm talking about, when, it's a long time me coming slowly but surely, like, say, into my power. And this is what I'm saying with you guys. Marriage is an invitation. It's a direct masculine challenge to step the fuck into your fullest power. When you get that game, you get turned on by marriage. You get turned on by your wife's seemingly crazy feedback, but it's like, it's part of that game. She's calling you into consciousness. But that was not an easy thing for me at all. Like so many of you, like, my conditioning growing up was to fear that feminine energy, to retreat and felt rejection, etc., etc. This was the interpretation, misinterpretation, call it what you will, of the persona that I developed as a boy. And mainstream society was, it's like, oh, all of this sort of bullshit stuff that we joke about, but man, it's really damaging and destructive. It's like, oh, it's a love-hate relationship, can't live with her, can't live without her. It's all this fucking shit. Oh, guy saying, oh, you got rid of the ball and chain. It's like, oh, it's a men's night. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is what we've been fed about the feminine, about the masculine feminine dance. Like, it's the most sacred spiritual dance in humanity. Masculine feminine, of course, not male female. Of course, you can have same sex and it's fucking beautiful. The dance of love with another human being, deep intimacy, is, for me, the single greatest spiritual container that you can practice. I don't give a fuck about a cave in Tibet. I don't give a fuck about, the most ornately decorated, golden plated temple that has ever been seen. I might go there and revel and go, wow, but I couldn't give a fuck about it. To be honest, it's like not enough has been said. And it's like, what a great tragedy for humanity that we haven't been indoctrinated, taught, brought up, stating, like infusing our nervous systems, our developing nervous systems, that the most sacred container for spiritual practice is marriage. Not from the bullshit obligation type thing. It's like, oh, till death do us part, and oh, you have to, and we're going to shame you if you get divorced, and all that fucking bullshit. I mean, social conformity is not what I'm talking about. There's plenty of messages about it being important, but it's coming from bullshit. Social conformity and, you know, marriage ultimately, you know, it was birthed as a social phenomenon from like economic purposes. Like, you know, you got married with one woman, and like that there was all the handing on of land, and like when we started owning shit, it's like all of a sudden it became important. So much of marriage as a phenomenon was based definitely like from a mind-led sort of keeping control of power. You know, it's like fucking horrible. Actually, where I'm coming from is like, it's the depth of spiritual practice. There is no greater. I don't believe, I like, you know, I'm not so impressed about a dude that fucks off to Tibet or Bali, and man, hey, kudos to you, like you've done 10 years of meditation and you're free, you know, of all the problems of your mind, and I'm not so fucking impressed. What impresses me is, you know, ye heroic husbands, that you're in the octagon, you've got your woman in your face, you know, she's there, she's up close and personal, there's no getting away. I call it like the octagon of marriage, because it's like when you close that doors in UFC, it's you and that dude, and like you're where you are at in your mind. Ultimately, it's a game in the mind, UFC, it's a game in the mind, you know, winning at the Olympics, it's a game of the mind, how well you know your mind. And how you can work with the forces of your mind that determines your experience in marriage. That's spiritual practice. I love one definition I heard of like what spirituality is about, is the art of learning not to take anything personal. So fucking beautiful. The early days of myself in marriage, I mean, I was talking with my queen there yesterday, and she's doing amazing stuff for her new podcast, which is tearing it up. And the link is in the podcast description, Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers. She was doing a lot of research on trauma bonds in relationships, and she was hot and spiky. I was like, she was really spiky. She had it with some thing that she read on Instagram. She was like, ah, you know, it's like, it's just this idealistic sort of view of like how relationships are meant to go, and she's like, it's fucking total bullshit. And like she's amazingly, I love when she's super spiky with me, I get turned on. But I have to say, it's like, it's a little bit easier when she has the focus of that spikiness with somebody else. Hey, like, you know, I love the game, but it's nice too when I can just sit and go, okay, vicariously, I can just listen on, and she has it with somebody else, it's not me. You know, there's the time that I have to step up into full consciousness, and there's times when I can just sit back, drink my coffee, and just enjoy the spikiness as it comes through her. But she was truth bombing, and there was a profound truth in it, which is like all of these people that have this idea of, oh, how a relationship is meant to be, and, you know, like, oh, when you do all your work and your trauma work, and it's like meant to be loving, and it's meant to be, you know, that's not what the episode is about, but she was rightfully saying, it's like, hey, the author of it, she's not fucking married. This is all theoretical fucking bullshit, that it's okay to vomit out on the gram and go, hey, you know, like, this is like, oh, trauma bonded. Like, and my queen was saying, it's like, yeah, the trauma bonded, like the post was like two categories, you know, when you do two categories and like, oh, this is trauma bonded relationship, and this is the other type, which is like, oh, this is the other type, was the type that, you know, that's how it should be. My queen was saying, it's like, hey, the trauma bonded list, like, Mark, that's you and me. That's our journey. And here's the thing. Not one fucking human being has not been deeply traumatized. And you, like, I think it's escapist bullshit to go, oh, I'm going to keep working. I'm seeing, like, so many guys in deep men's work, they come to the work and, hey, like, some of them are like after getting divorced, and like there's no judgment where a guy is at. Like, I mean, a guy is at is where a guy is at, but I'm seeing like a lot of guys that have done years of deep work just scared fucking shitless to enter into marriage. Because why? It's like, it's easy to do the work and like go to a bunch of brothers and, you know, it's like, oh, you know, we chant together, we sing together, we do this work together, we hug, we kiss, we fucking like, we get manly, we go camping, we do 7 days together. And it's like, that cool. It's really empowering, but it's scary fucking shit to be, you know, locked into this agreement together called marriage, where it's like you wake up together, you go to bed together, you like, you, it's like, you know, because in that, the hell, the unworked hell, the shadow that's in your nervous system is going to be detoxed to the surface. Hence, you know, she tests the hell out of you is the greatest gift if you can play that game. That was definitely the beginning of my relationship. Trauma bonded. I was a fucking mess. My queen was a mess. And hey, here's the thing. Every single one of you, whether you want to accept it or not, I know we've done this before. There's a lot of shaming out there of guys being a mess. So I'm not saying, oh, you were traumatizing. But like a put down, it's like as a loving acceptance. Start with awareness. It's like, if you're listening in, you're probably like 99.9%, and there's the 0.01% that are just totally fucking self-deluded and they're just camping out and blaming their woman and like, hey, whatever. You know, some people just don't want to come to the practice. Assume by default you have brought significant levels of trauma, of emotional and psychological trauma into your marriage. And that is the sole reason why you're experiencing marriage to be a struggle. To bring your heart of love for yourself and your heart of love for your queen, to bring it out in a way that is received. It's trauma. It's unworked trauma. That's it. So working, learning to work with the mind is profoundly important. I learned this early days, you know, within a year and a half of meeting my queen, we decided to jet off to Italy, to her home place. And without the language, and this is not to make excuses, it's to explain the certain situation I was in, without the Italian language, you know, the first year, the ability to communicate, to connect with other human beings, I was like profound levels of, I was lone wolfing. You know, I say that nowadays, you know, it's like lone wolfing, there's no badge of honor, man. I was wearing that as a badge of honor. I'll fucking do this. And I had the persona for family at home, friends at home, like that I left behind in Ireland. It's like, oh, you know, it's living the Italian dream, like, oh, the weather, oh, the food. Oh, wow. It's like this dream life. Very fucking easy to put that out. I was dying on the inside. Dying on the inside. Like, you know, when our daughter, during the move, my queen was pregnant with her firstborn, and we've come a long way. But man, those early days, I mean, after, I think it was like six months that our firstborn, Anya, was born and in this world, like, I ended up like lashing out with Matilda, kicking her in the shin. I was fucking like fucked in the head. There was deep suicidal ideation happening in my head. It was a living hell for me. I literally did not know how to dig myself out of this shit. And at that point, and I've planted, I don't know, it must be like hundreds of thousands, 100,000 more, million, I don't know if you could clock them, but seeds of potentiality, seeds of wisdom. Like I delved deep into the mind. It's like I knew on some level, it's like I didn't want to leave. I mean, the thoughts were there. My mind was like, hey, could you just fucking leave? And like that part of that was escapism. It gave me a relief at the time. Oh, I could just leave. You know, I can do this. A friend came down from Ireland. He said, Mark, you know, it's like if you ever return to Ireland, like I opened up to him about just how fucked up things had gotten when I was there. He was like, if you ever just came home, it's like nobody would judge you. And that was deeply relieving to hear that. But I didn't want to leave. There was a part of me going, there was always this spiritual truth inside me going, there's something bigger here. Just stick this out. There always was. I used to come out at night and go, you know, no matter what suffering, no matter, and it was fucking crazy. It was crazy what was happening on the inside. My beautiful queen was being wrapped up by a narcissistic granny, family dynamics. There was nothing left on the table to be offered to me in marriage. And indeed for Anya, it was like exceptionally dysfunctional. So the core thing is, guys, I was desperate, suicidal. My mind did not know how to fucking break out of this shit. Externally, the marriage situation, the family situation, my external world, it was a prison. And my mind became a prison. I literally was like waking up in the morning, waiting for that night to come. My first thought in the morning was like, I can't wait till I go to sleep tonight. That's how bad it had got for me. It was like, I don't know how to walk through this living portion of my existence and not f want to kill myself, not want to escape, not want to just run away into this, it was like just run. So my first thought, I remember that week, my first thought in the morning was, I can't wait till I go to sleep tonight, because that was my only peace. And when I had that thought first thing in the morning for a few mornings, do you know what happened? The nightmare started. I build this in to say, and it's not to say, oh, look at me, oh, look how impressive I am. You now know the man that I have become in marriage, and I'm becoming, and it's like I'm only getting going. I experience that my greatest freedom is in marriage. This all came from teachings on the mind. I delved in, particularly in that period, it was Buddhist teachings. I'm going to share some insights, some core teachings that I mean. I read loads, but there were certain core things that just supported me going, wow. I actually, my freedom, it w was not my greatest suffering at that time. And listening to guys, the greatest suffering in marriage in the octagon is like, is this feeling I'm locked in with this person and I can't escape. It's like, I can't, if you're in an octagon in UFC, I can't just jump over the thing. It's not a very good career move to jump out and just to run off. I can't get away from this person, and it's like it's just in my face, and I can't just fuck off for 2 weeks and rejuvenate my batteries and come back and do that, like, every 2 months I just fuck off for 2 weeks. Some guys try that to try and get careers where they're constantly away from home. We actually do try that, but that makes things worse. So the idea of seeking an external freedom, the prison of that period of my life was none of that external freedom was there on the table. It was not possible. I was forced to look inside, and it's like my only freedom in that period was accessible through what I was doing to work with my mind. And that is actually the one source of your greatest freedom. When you turn from looking outwards, where's my freedom? It's like, oh, shitty life at home, but hey, I'm gonna knock it out of the park at work, and like I'm gonna have be love bombed at work, and oh, he's such a legend. You go, man! Like you knocked it out of the park. You got that new person signed up in a contract, or man, what you do in the construction site? You're the fucking bomb, or you get it in your sporting endeavors, or people love bomb the living hell out of you. It's like, oh man, fucking legend! Like what? Like you're the best in the gym. Blah blah blah. Whatever the fuck. But you have this gnawing inadequacy, gnawing away, and hey, you go home, nothing of what you do in the outside world is going to impress your queen. Have you noticed that? Because why? She's tapping into your level of consciousness, your level of presence or not. And she gives you feedback on that, because she's like, none of those other fuckers in your external world have signed up to be with you for life. So it's fucking easy for them to just look at them, like praise you and acknowledge you for the good shit. They don't go home with you. They don't live with you when you're tired, when you're beat up. They're not there when you've had a bad day at work and it didn't go quite so good. They don't get that version of you. They don't get the depleted version of you at the weekend when you're not living with such purpose and your addiction to the thrill of work, and that's the only freedom you feel. Well, you don't have that at the weekend. So when you surrender and you submerge into fuck piss arson on your so-called smartphone, on these dumbass devices that are designed to fuck up our neurochemistry and our ability to be present, etc., or you numb yourself with alcohol and fucking and busyness, they don't get that. The people who worked at like you can get your dopamine fix on and feel brilliant. Those people don't get that. Your queen gets it, your kids get it, and that's why its levels of consciousness are not. So the greatest freedom, when I went in, and it was mainly Buddhist teachings, and then by extension I went into, there was Christian teachings that I just hadn't, I don't know, growing up in Roman Catholic Ireland, I just didn't get any inspiration from the teachings of Jesus. But to be honest, when I started like looking at people that were coming from a yogic tradition, like what we would call Eastern philosophies, and when I heard their interpretations of Jesus' teachings, I'm like, why was I not fucking told this epic shit when I was growing up? Man, I went to mass like every single Sunday as a good Roman Catholic Irish family. Every single Sunday, we got controversial when it started becoming, oh, Saturday evening mass. And like at the age of 12, I was like, I fucked off away from it. And it's like, I actually dig the living shit out of Jesus. His teachings, man, a spiritual poetry. How it was fucking sold, never liked it. Still don't. Like I don't go back to it, but I dig the living shit out of his capacity, like to be in the cross as a human being in your in like in his human form, to be in a position where you've such mastery of your inner world, your mind, your state of consciousness, to be looking down saying, oh, forgive them, they know not what you do. Like there's a part of me that goes, what level of consciousness, of practice of your energy, like, you know, the God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, Christian traditions, your Buddha nature, nature mind, Buddhist traditions, you know, like whatever. It's like, what level of practice of consciousness? Let's strip the sort of religious sort of labeling to it for a moment. What a practice of masculine consciousness. The masculine practice is being embodied consciousness, that aka presence. What a level of like inner freedom. You know, on some part, you want to shout out and go, dude, you know, how the, f what the fuck are you saying that to Downton? Fuck them. They've nailed you in. They're assassinating you ultimately for being fucking like amazing. They're threatened by your brilliance, by your spiritual liberated freedom, your radical power that you're taking over like the entire landscape, and the authoritarian control is gonna fall if they leave you with a beating heart in your chest. You know, dude, like, I don't know, just like fucking spit on top of him. No. Accessing such a level of consciousness, mastery of the mind. And one thing I said to guys in Heroic Husbands men's circles, I sent out like individualized and putting a lot of energy into those guys. Amazing the transformations they're having, but it's like next level, guys. Next fucking level. The whole thing of marriage is not to be like a good husband, is to access the highest level of consciousness. That's the game. And like, why, you know, why the guys are experiencing such radical transformations, like from a lot of the marriage, the marriage shitstorm that those guys came in with, like myself from years ago, fucking dramatically off. But it's stunning, stunning, stunning to witness the transformation that's happening, how their queens' hearts are like melting open to the these guys, how they're practicing. What I've the gauntlet I was putting to them directly this week was, guys, you know, it's like it's amazing what you're doing thus far. But you know, there's a hundredfold, there's a thousandfold of this practice of consciousness available to you. And it's this central thing. It's like you to these guys, but by extension to you now listening in, is you are as powerful as any man that has ever existed. You are as powerful as any man that is existing now, and as powerful as any man that will ever exist. You are that fucking powerful. Now, with the level of trauma and the billions of messages that have been bombarded at our nervous system since we were born, this is like a message that seems really fucking hard to digest. But I know for a fact that deep down in every single one of you, you get that point. Every man that I have put that to, without fail, has went, you know, Mark, in the background, I've always thought that, I've always believed that. But here's the thing, in a society that you can't fucking speak shit like that, or you get fucking people spitting down on top of you because their inadequacies, they don't know how to be in the presence of somebody that speaks like that. We keep that shit locked in the inside. Every man, our masculine core of consciousness, despite nothing in modern society supporting us connecting and remembering that, apart from a few teachers out there, but for you guys, you've created the karma to come upon Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. Everything we speak to here is, you know, aimed to reconnect you, to support you remembering. I'm not telling you fucking something that's new. I don't have the power to go, here, guys, I discovered this. Here's an idea. Like, here's a tool. It's as fucking powerful an experience for ye guys because I'm quite simply reminding you of what you have always known. That when you rinse yourself through and marinate yourself repeatedly in these messages, you merely have another human being in a human body, like a regular fucking schmuck that I am, that I've just slowly but surely been allowing and finding a permission within my nervous system as a regular schmuck, a regular dude in marriage with regular problems, with a regular childhood, with a regular fucked up nervous system, traumatized as fuck. But I'm finding a way to go, hey, what happens when I actually plant millions of seeds off the original story of how fucking beautiful and powerful I am, and by extension my wife, and by extension my kids, and oh, while I'm at it, by extension every fucking human that's alive, and by extension the beauty and the joy and the majesty and the glorious fucking victory it is to be conscious and alive in this beautiful perfect world. Funnily enough, that's not what the modern media is bombarding us with. It's, you're fucking a piece of shit. Humanity is the reason life on Earth is so fucked up. And we've had millennia of this. It's just cranking up in the moment. There's a beauty at the core of it. And when you look in at the core, that core essence, there's this radical freedom. This is, our spiritual soul knows. It's like, I've always known this. But when you look at the mind, in Buddhist teachings, and I really reflect on this again and again, there's the appearance of mind, which is thoughts and emotions. And there's the nature of mind, which is, hey, you know, Christian teachings, you could say, hey, that's Christ consciousness. It's consciousness. It's the witnessing awareness that just looks on at the appearance of mind. So there's the appearance of mind and the nature of mind. The nature of mind is like the truth behind it all. You know, when Jesus said, the kingdom of God lies within you. For me, and again, hey, you know, some of you could be like, oh, who the fuck are you to give commentary? I'm who the fuck I am. I don't need any man's permission. You know, this is part of that rigorous sort of warrior spirit inside of, like, we don't need fucking permission to speak about spiritual teachings. You know, you don't need to do the 7 years in the Vatican and fucking lie down on the floor. If that's another man's path, I fucking honor him. But I draw the line, no fucking human on this planet tells me if I can speak to the depths of spiritual realizations I've had in my humble journey. And man, am I enlightened? No fucking way. But I do experience moments of enlightened clarity. Zen teachings, I think they call them Sartori. Brief glimpses of, man, the simplicity of it all. And I've had many of those. So, you know, with it, there's the absolute and the relative. Again. Oh, it's easy to say, oh, you're more powerful as any man has ever been, is now and ever. That doesn't mean that you're enlightened. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. That, like, hey, part of the thing of it all is to have that level of consciousness to burn up all this old karma, old shadow shit that comes through you, the blame, the shame, all of that patterning. That's in your relative sense. But you've got to know that the truth of who you are, the kingdom of God that is in you, that marriage brings you out. If you get this, then marriage becomes a game that you can constantly win and get more powerful. Like when you play computer games, the whole thing is to get more and more and more and more powerful. And the more and more tools and more power you have, the more the levels, the next level. You get to the next level, and like eventually you win. The eventual winning in this lifetime is death. Deepest spiritual point is like that point in the cross. Jesus, he cashed in. He won the game. That's the spiritual path. Is like you can fucking think what you want, You can say whatever you want, you can have whatever opinion about yourself that you want, but can you meet that and be surrendered into the perfection of it all? That is the essence, your spiritual essence, the spiritual game. It's like your thoughts and emotions at the point of death aren't worth shit. Beliefs, oh, but I said this great, and oh, fuck or, and blah, blah, all of that is burned up. So the spiritual path is about making that separation between the essence of who you are, consciousness, life, call it Christ, name it, label it, whatever way you want. There's this energy that's pulsating, that gives life to you. You know, when you die, hey, that energy fucks off out of your body. Go by whatever mystical tradition's explanation and description of that process. You know, whatever, line up with whatever truth, like, hits home for you as feeling like that feels good to you, cool. But there's this hidden essence that's there. And when it's there, we experience life in this body. And when it's not there, it's physical death to that blob of organic matter that we call our body. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, there's that awareness. That's consciousness. Now, when we get mixed up and we think, and we've been bombarded in this bullshit, profoundly sick society that we are the thoughts, we are the emotions, you get lost. When I was, you know, when my mind, I couldn't bring distance between my thoughts and my emotions, they're not me. I was in hell. My mind ended up turning against my physical organism almost completely. It was like so hellish that it was either run away from my marriage or run away from this life. It was that bad. It was that intense inside of myself. Now, when I repeatedly went, it's like, hold on. These thoughts and these emotions, they're not me. They're merely habitual patterns that kicked off, you know, early days, early belief system, formative years. Wow. Well, this changes everything. And it slowly but surely began to soften my capacity to actually surrender into the external situation and go, oh, okay. Now, nothing in my external situation, like it would be a year and a half later that we would, you know, I'd find the courage inside of myself to meet the needs for the family and go, hey, we're going to crash and burn if we stay around here anymore. The family dynamics wasn't allowing it. And it was like a deeply traumatic experience for myself, for our daughter, especially for my queen to go back to Ireland. She was leaving the sun, the beauty of Italian culture. There's a lot of fucking good things going, but we would have died as a family unit. But what allowed me was this obsession that I formed with coming to know my mind, which, guys, if you do go that deep, and this is why this podcast is resonating with you, and it's not fucking fluff talk like so much stuff out there, is that's the game. When you know that marriage is the game, that is constantly, like, your marriage is not happening to you, it's happening for you. When you go over that bridge and realize, you know, it's like, oh, my wife gives me all this shit, and oh, man, marriage, and oh, fucking, like, oh, all the responsibilities, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, man, that's like, it's like it's happening to you. It's like you're a fucking victim. Just a little reminder call here. Take extreme ownership, man. You fucking chose to come into it. Whether you were so aware at the time, like myself, I just jumped in, trauma bond, whatever the fuck, hey, we were seeking to, you know, meet our attachment needs in a pretty cheap way, and we weren't conscious, like, hey, cool, like 99.9999% of marriages sort of start like that, and relationships start like that. Your spiritual game is to realize it's happening for you, not to you. It's happening for me. Oh, my wife is giving me this shit. It's happening for me. Ah, part of the game is she's supporting me. She's challenging me. You know, part of it is, oh, it's happening for me. It's like she's giving me that feedback. And it's feedback, it's not criticism, it's beautiful feedback, it's feminine feedback, which is challenging me to, you know, feel the noose around my nervous system, around my neck, and go, okay, I gotta go deeper, I gotta realize my level of consciousness, I've gotta bring separation within my mind, that there's my thoughts and my emotions and me. Now the spiritual game of liberation has kicked off. And I know this is the type of shit that is like really fucking speaking to your masculine soul, because that's the ultimate freedom. We all know deep down that, man, you can fucking create a billion-dollar business empire and not be free. we have seen countless examples of people that externally, you know, I don't want to bring up any names, but it's like people that have won Oscars have done this, done that, and then they commit suicide. And, you know, like we've heard too many of the stories to realize, yeah, this whole external liberation journey that has been bombarded us, that like, oh, you know, you'll be complete when you have that type of car, that type of, it's like, it's bullshit. It's total bullshit. We know the greatest freedom is inside out. Self-actualized beings cutting, like, actually, the greatest success is when you get that free on the inside. Man, you can take on any project and win, because you're not going to beat the fucking shit out of yourself. And if a part of your mind is beating you up, you're like, oh, look, isn't it funny? Oh, just look at those thoughts, man. Trying to beat the shit out of me. Isn't it funny that there's like a train of thoughts in my nervous system that tries to beat the shit out of me when I get, you know, feedback? And it tries to tell me that, oh, she's a bitch. It tries to tell me I should leave this marriage. It tries to tell me I should hang myself. It tries to tell me my kids are wrong for not respecting me. It tries to tell me all of this fucking bullshit. This is really interesting. Here I am sitting, noticing this game inside of myself, and, oh, Jesus, that's a really stingy emotion of shame. And by the way, I don't caricature this. This is intense. Spiritual practice is fucking intense. I'm quite sure Jesus on the cross, that was fucking intense. You know, to still be accessing that level. He did, in the garden, do the most famous masculine conscious check-in ever written in literature, in the garden, when he was calling on the support of the Heavenly Father to support him through it. So it was fucking intense, but that's the practice, guys. Masculine practice is like Jesus in the garden going, hey, this is fucking intense, man. Support me. Reground me. Support me. Help me reground, Heavenly Father. Let me refine my ground in consciousness. Cool. Thank you. On I proceed. I know they weren't the words, but it's like he was having that human experience and he accessed that. Buddha, the same. You know, it's like that's the game. And when you do that, you're unstoppable. When you do that game and you realize you catch yourself in the middle of like a tsunami of bullshit in your mind and you go, I'm not the thoughts. I'm not those emotions. 2.5 years ago, I had like a kick up of that suicidal sort of pain inside of me, the depth of desperation for 2 days. I was fighting tooth and nail to stick and do my half hour yoga routine. I remember being in tears halfway through, my wife going, are you okay? And I was like, I'm just fucking fighting it. I'm doing the work. Tears going, what are you doing this? You're a piece of shit. Thoughts and emotions trying to take me down. I'm still standing. Still fucking standing, guys. That's the game. There's beautiful teachings, and, you know, samsara is mind turned outwardly, lost in its projections. Nirvana is mind turned inwardly, recognizing its true nature. This is what I'm talking about. I read that. It's from a quote by Tulku Urgyen Rinpoche. I read that quote like thousands of times in those worst of moments when I was living in Italy with my queen. But like samsara, that's like hell. Call it. That's like the Buddhist term for hell, if you want to say. Nirvana is like heaven. So how to try, like what creates hell? Hell is mind turned outwardly, lost in its projections. Again, you know, you can go, oh, but I don't do Buddhist teachings. This is just like teachings on how your mind works, the human mind works. It doesn't, like, the Buddhist mind doesn't work different than fucking other minds. Again, this whole separation bullshit of like, oh, I don't do that religion. I'm just like, hey, man, it's like, if it works, if it tells you about your human mind, open up to the fucking insights. Samsara, or hell, is mind turned outwardly, lost in its projections. It's lost in that moment when your mind is just, your thoughts and emotions are blaming your wife or shaming yourself. When you get lost in that, that's hell. And that, I just repeatedly came back. This grounded me so deeply. I'm like, wow. Yeah, I'm fucking blaming my mind. When I get lost in that shit and it's blaming my wife, it's blaming her in-laws, it's blaming my parents for what they did and didn't do, it's blaming fucking, it's just blaming, and it's beating the shit out of myself to the point at which it wants me to drive off an edge into a vineyard and kill myself. Hoo yeah, good fucking idea, huh? When my mind was lost in the thoughts and emotions, these projections, that was hell. I had no freedom. But nirvana, heaven, was when my mind started turning inwardly, which We haven't had much encouragement in society. Have you noticed that? When? In, 17 or 18 years of education. Like, how the fuck can you go that far through an educational journey without anybody ever going, let's just sit and like talk about the mind. Here's the mechanics of how the mind works. How? That's why I say this is a profoundly sick society. How the fuck can you go through so much? How can the entire educational journey be structured that you never speak about the mind and how to, like, you know, how to navigate the mind in a way that can support you becoming a healthy and happy human being? Nirvana is mind turned inwardly, recognizing its true nature. So heaven is when your mind turns inwardly and goes, oh, motherfucker. You know, that message of that part of me that has always known I am as powerful as any man that has ever lived, including Jesus, including Buddha, including Gandhi, including Mandela, including whoever the fuck you want to put in your list of heroes. I am as powerful. And in actual fact, the power of all of those incredible men historically was that's what they pointed to. You know, the kingdom of God is within you, you know. I'm the son of God, you're the children of God. It's pretty fucking explicit. Forget all the other human beings that contorted that message. That's what Jesus said, did he not? I'm the son of God, you're the children of God. He was explicitly saying, you're the same as me. I'm on the same, if you put a hierarchy, I'm on the same fucking level. Welcome to it, guys, and the kingdom of God was within you. So heaven is mind turned inwardly, recognizing its true nature, recognizing and establishing the human right to go, I'm fucking badass. I am as powerful as any man that has ever been. Any man that's alive now, any man that ever will be. I am that powerful. And setting your whole life up around supporting that truth, that message, become your lived embodied truth. And your beautiful queen is supporting on you. Because why? She challenges you to bring out the samsara, to bring out the hellish projections of your mind. And it's your job as the masculine pole in your relationship as a king. Remember, I enter into every podcast here. Hello, you know, welcome in kingly brothers. King archetype. Consciousness, embodied consciousness. That's the king archetype. The king, you know, Jesus, the king. Buddha, kingship. Mandela, kingship. Gandhi, kingship. It's the king. It's the seat of consciousness. Embodied consciousness is kingship. Heroic husbands, man. Hero's journey. You got to fucking go into the underworld. The hero's journey, you got to go into the underworld. And your queen fucking fucks you in there and goes, hey, you're not fucking coming out. I'm not giving you the fullest feminine love until you actually drop your balls out of your pelvis and you get in that fucking path, man. Get in there. And she cranks up her pain and then she blocks off her heart. And if you're in boy energy, you're like, I'm staying out here sucking my thumb. Fuck her. I'll get divorced because she's a fucking bitch. And you go off to the next life, the next marriage, and you fuck that up as well. 50% of first time marriages fuck up, go to divorce. 65% of second time marriages and 85% of third time marriages fail. But you'll suck your thumb going to the next one. That part of your mind. That's not the game, guys. Her entire nervous system goes, get into the underworld, get on that hero's journey, and when you come out victorious to far side, I will lavish you with the love that no man on earth knows of such love. I will lavish you with that devotional love, but you got to pay the fucking price and you got to do the work. That's the game, guys. So my challenge, my invitation to you is lock into that truth in you. Lock into that infinite power and potentiality that you have always known. And I know there's been times in your childhood and times in your adult journey where you've always known. I'm saying, I'm encouraging you, I'm masculine direct fucking challenging you to take ownership of that and realize on some level, on the absolute level, you are that fucking powerful. You always have been, you are now, and you always will be. You are that infinite state of consciousness. And from that state of grounded courage and owning that like core spiritual identity, do the work on the relative level of, hey, the spiky protective pathways that come through you when, hey, you blame again. You know, come from that spiritual power and when blame and shame thoughts come up, just go notice the game. Go, well, that's not me. That's just a brain burp of my nervous system. Cool. I'm blaming my wife. Well, I don't have to speak that shit out. I'll notice the game and go, I'll ignore that. And what would love do? What's this space asking from? What does this space require the king in me to express? Go back to kingship. Go back to the game of consciousness. Notice all the other stuff, nod and bow to it, but it's nothing to do with you. Shame and blame, nothing to do with you. You know, suicidal shame and fucking rejection and all that stuff. Man, that's just a detox. That's just, you're washing, the spiritual game is washing dirty socks and, like, not taking it personal when, oh, dirt came out in the water. Well, that's okay. That's the game of marriage. It's like washing dirty socks. When you know, it's like, oh, when I do this dance, spiritual, amazing, sacred dance with my beautiful queen, part of the game is she's washing, forcing me to, like, she's testing the hell out of me. She's washing the dirt out. That's beautiful. It's her greatest gift to you. And your greatest gift is doing the fucking spiritual work necessary to access repeatedly that heart of truth, that infinite power of the ocean of love that you are. You know you are. Now it's time to just make a game of revealing that more and more and more. And you will find when you start playing the game like that, on that that profundity of inner world experience, you will find that it's fucking infinitely easier to open your heart and, like, express a river of appreciation for your queen, because you start ferociously loving and accepting yourself on such a level, because you have such a grounded base of, I'm fucking badass. I am that powerful. I always have been. I feel the permission when I listen to Mark speaking, but he's not telling me anything new. He's just reminding me what I've always fucking known. But I feel safe experiencing that truth when I listen in. And then you meditate, and then you get into nature, and you do other practices, obviously, outside of the podcast. The podcast is not enough. It's a spark. It's like a signpost pointing you to what's amazing inside of you. When you start allowing that permeate your nervous system, man, your queen is going to be infinitely safer and feeling more loved and feeling seen, heard, and safe around you bit by bit, guys. That's the fucking game. I love every single one of you guys uninhibitedly. You know, that infinite source of consciousness in me just has love for every single one of you. And I'm in awe of the stories and the transformations I'm hearing. Like, in Heroic Husbands, it's off the fucking charts. It's like such a pleasant, it's such an honor and a privilege to see these guys transform their marriages the way they do. The link is always there. The option is there for you. Like, reach out. If you want to play this game at the highest level available within a human nervous system, that's the level of intensity we go at, guys. Click the link. Any single one of you can transform your marriage when you play the game like this. Sending amazing, infinite, brotherly love to every single one of you. You're fucking awesome. Coming into landing, as always, the mantra for movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful, kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.